Blow the doors off your business by using provisional patent applications. Listen to how board members, investors, CEOs, CTOs, CFOs, and inventors can leverage provisionals. This is Invent Anything, and I'm John Cronin.
Inventions keep the world spinning. From fire in the wheel to today's high tech, inventions power change. Turn your inventions into reality. Learn how to get your ideas to market. This is Invent Anything with John Cronin.
Are you a podcast listener interested in worldwide information on innovation and intellectual property? Whether you're a board member, investor, CEO, CTO, CFO, or inventor, filing provisional patents is a smart move that can provide a wide range of benefits for your company, from protecting your intellectual property to enhancing brand, attracting investors, generating revenue streams, facilitating mergers and acquisitions. Provisional patents are a valuable tool that can help you stay ahead of the curve and succeed today in the competitive business landscape. So why not tune in to our podcast and learn how to leverage provisional patent applications? Don't miss this opportunity to gain insights, tips, and strategies that can help you drive innovation and protect your intellectual property to achieve your goals. Today, we'll cover six topics, and it's pretty simple. We're going to cover provisional applications in topic number one from the standpoint of board members. In topic number two, we're going to cover it from the investor perspective. In topic number three, we're going to cover it from CEO perspective. In topic number four, we're going to cover it from CTO perspective. Interestingly enough, in topic number five, we're going to cover it from the CFO perspective, and then finally covering it from the inventor perspective in topic number six. In sort of thinking about the audience, we started to think about this and thought that maybe, you know, part of the audience might be interested is for those that maybe already understand patents and provisionals, but never thought about the many ways to leverage them. So this is for you. Board members who see their roles in risk reduction and growing value, patent provisionals can actually help with that. To investors who want to maximize their returns, this podcast is for you. For CEOs looking to grow their markets and obtain long-term returns, certainly patent provisionals can help with that. And then for CTOs who want to enhance R&D and reduce costs, or even CFOs who want to help improve their bottom line. And finally, to sort of investors and technical employees who would like to understand the impact of their companies, who they work for. And finally, to inventors to understand how to improve their invention process. So this is John Cronin, Invent Anything. And coming up, we'll learn about the board's perspective and the investors' perspectives. We'll be discussing many benefits of filing provisionals and from board members' perspectives of enhancing brand, supporting international expansion, protecting against lawsuits, building value, managing risks. But from the inventor's perspective, we'll be talking about provisionals to facilitate mergers, acquisitions, establish dominance in the market, attract investors, generate a lot of interest with partners, protect against infringement, and also improve the investment performance. We'll provide these valuable insights over the next two topics.
You're listening to Invent Anything with John Cronin. Be sure to visit us at inventanything.net. There's information, articles, and more. And you can leave your thoughts and comments there as well. That's inventanything.net. And now back to John and this episode.
Let's talk about topic number one, the board member's perspective. You know, enhancing brand recognition is an important part of a board. I've been on many boards. I've been chairman of a number, public and private, and board members of a lot of different boards. And so I have this experience as well. We want to have our companies at boards, at board members, so to enhance brand recognition. Provisionals can help you do this. Basically, by establishing provisionals, you can show that you're a leader in innovation and intellectual property and get that information to shareholders because they'll really enjoy the fact that you're developing these assets. Another thing is that you can support international expansion, even a small company, because by filing provisionals, you secure an early date in the U.S. patent system, which then can be leveraged internationally. You can protect against lawsuits, believe it or not, because provisionals, the process of doing it in your company, can actually protect against lawsuits by establishing ownership first. So it's very unlikely if you have a good provisionals process that you'll be creating products that you didn't cover with patents that you might get sued with. One important thing investors think about, and therefore the board members should really guide their thinking, is that provisionals can be used to build value for the company. You see, patents can enhance a company's value in a number of different ways. One of the things is that you can have provisional applications and highlight it as a marketing tool to actually tell the market that you have provisional applications. would show you as an innovator. One thing us board members love to do is to manage risks. Provisional applications can be used to manage risk. By filing provisionals, you can establish early filing dates and secure your place in the patent application system. And this also, again, as I mentioned, would help against competitors from filing similar patents, you know, earlier than you. One of the things is that us board members always think about the reputation of the company, and provisional patent applications can help us with our reputation. You see, what we're doing with provisional applications is making sure that no one in the company and also no one outside the company can sort of steal our ideas. A lot of times when we're working in the market with vendors and suppliers, our intellectual property sort of gets leaked or gets stolen by competitors. And so reputation is everything for a board member. And by having provisionals, you can make sure even internal people know and recognize that the inventions are owned by the company. One of the great things that we do as board members is to try to improve the talent of the company. And you can do this to acquire new talent, also retain the talent you have. You see, when you have provisional applications, you can do this because you're demonstrating the company's commitment to intellectual property by investing in provisional applications. Now, when we mention provisional applications, we're always thinking, of course, of the next step, which is patent applications. But provisional applications is a first early step towards that. And shareholder value is another thing board members worry a lot about. Provisional patent applications can support shareholder value because you're ensuring that it can generate revenue later on, hopefully from the provisionals turning into patents, and then you'd have inventions that you could use for licensing and all sorts of deals. One of the key things about myself as a board member, the number of boards I've served on, and I've talked to many other board members, is one of the things that boards do is think about succession planning. And we're always thinking about, you know, what happens if the CTO finds another job, or what happens if the CEO gets a better offer, or what happens if there's a, you know, some problem with health or so on. So we're always trying to think about the long-term health about the business succession planning. And one of the nice things about provisionals is by filing them and having those on record, is you have the ownership that goes way back to the people that had done the work. So any new management coming in doesn't have to sort of reinvent everything that's defined and locked in. And finally, there isn't a board member in the world that doesn't want to improve financial performance. So one of the things is that when you have provisional applications, you can start thinking about them as assets added to the balance sheet. So you can see all the different ways that board members can, you know, leverage having provisionals. And these are only 10. Believe me, there's a lot more. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and think about investors. If you take a look at investors, one of the things that they like to do when they invest is to get their company to the next level. And one of those things is to facilitate mergers and acquisitions. One of the things, and history always shows, that having lots of provisionals and patent applications can really generate a lot of value. Apple, for instance, in 2019 bought a company called Xnor.ai. And they had about 20 patents and got bought for about $200 million. And word on the street was it was basically for the patents and provisionals. So you can see how by generating patents and provisionals, investors' perspective are really key. Provisionals come first because they're cheaper, you can get more volume out of it, and then determine later what you want to file as patents. One thing that CEOs like to do, and I've been a CEO of three or four companies myself, and I've used this, is to try to use patent provisionals for market dominance. In other words, if you establish a market and then have provisionals, the next step, of course, is patents, you can have this sort of marketed that you have the ownership of the particular market you're in. So by filing provisionals, it's a great investment to essentially help you dominate your market. And one of the things that investors like is to attract the next round, so attracting other investors. And there's nothing like having provisionals in play before your next round, and maybe a group of them, to sort of push up the company in terms of its invention status. You can take a look at our IP story and how to raise money in episode 9 and 24, excuse me, in our podcast, so you can literally, you know, get more information on this. One of the things investors love is to generate interest. So provisional patent application can certainly do that. One of the things they know is that when you have provisional applications, you can later on file patents or trade secrets from all this. And what that does is gives you enormous flexibility in where you can take the company. So you can generate interest maybe from an acquirer. You can generate interest in raising money or equity or debt. You can generate interest in maybe bringing on some new value chain partner. And all those things actually have to do with what you own and the prominence of your provisional applications. Mentioned earlier that board members also like to worry about infringement. Boy, investors, the last thing investors want to do is invest and then find out they're in a lawsuit. So if you're an investor or if you're someone looking for investment, provisional applications are really saying something that you might want to be really clear about what you're saying. By having really good provisional application processes in your company, it means you're filing provisionals on your inventions, which means the probability of you being infringing somebody else's patent goes down. Because if you didn't do anything about provisionals or patents, the likelihood that you could be infringing another product because you've never gotten involved in sort of being there first with your inventions, you might find out that later on someone filed a patent on exactly what you had in R&D. Market volatility is a pretty big thing for investors. We saw this in COVID-19. And a lot of our clients during COVID-19 had investors that were saying, okay, the market's not responding. We're not doing the kind of sales we thought we were going to do. What should we do? A number of our investors that we've worked with over years basically started recognizing that why don't we use this time to develop intellectual property? And basically when the market's volatile, we'll develop more intellectual property. So when the market turns around, we can actually be more ready. And so, you know, there's always market volatility in our world, right? So it would make sense from a market volatility standpoint to file provisional applications. Every investment wants it every quarter, the income statement and the balance sheet. They want to know about investment performance. If you want to risk adjust returns and make sure that you have that best return, one of the great things you can do with provisional applications is through provisional applications, reduce volatility that companies may see, because at least it's another asset. Provisionals could be converted to patents, and then patents could be sold or licensed, even if the company doesn't make it. On the other hand, provisionals that become patents could certainly be used to generate all sorts of other economic gains. So by having provisional applications, investors certainly get higher investment performance. Economic conditions are certainly something that investors really worry about, and provisional patent applications can support innovation by creating new revenue streams. I mentioned new partners in the value chain or potential M&A or other potential ways of generating revenue streams. So economic conditions might mean you might have to use the provisional applications converted to patents to develop new ways of making money. Two other things. One is that regulatory changes are something that happens, you know, a lot. And if you're in a business where regulatory is, you know, a big issue, you might consider provisional applications as a way to quickly invent in front of or right on top of the regulation change. We're doing this right now with two companies in the healthcare space. You probably have heard the stories of the cell phone, you know, where you're changing generations, you go from so generation one to generation two to the next standard. And so what happens is that before those standards are set, all these large companies go into the standards bodies meetings and they have parallel engineers and management in hotels all around the conference. And they're literally learning about the standards discussions and creating patents right there to get a patent position on top of the standards. So regulatory changes is pretty big. Another thing is that patent provisionals can really help with the management team because investors like to have a solid management team. If the management team is adept on filing provisionals routinely, and then later on patents, of course, the management team is now kind of, I would say, considered by investors to be more solid as a management team because they understand the business, the market, the product, the technology, and the inventions and IP to secure the assets. Finally, I'll mention industry trends. One of the great things about provisionals is by filing provisionals in the business, you get a real good idea of what's new and what's not new. And by having the discipline of filing provisionals, you know, the investors can actually see from that effort that they're following industry trends or not. So coming up in our podcast, we have insights coming up from CEOs and CTOs, and let's learn about the perspectives they may have. CEOs can, you know, leverage patent provisionals in a lot of different ways, from spin-offs to testing markets and so on. But CTOs have a different point of view. Let's learn about how they want to reduce risk or prioritize research or drive development efforts. So stay tuned for what CEOs and CTOs think about provisional applications.
You're listening to Invent Anything with John Cronin. Be sure to visit us at inventanything.net. There's information, articles, and more. And you can leave your thoughts and comments there as well. That's inventanything.net. And now back to John and this episode.
So let's talk about topic number three, the CEO's perspective. As I mentioned, I've been a CEO of a number of companies myself, so at least I can talk a little bit about this from that perspective. On the other hand, most of my clients, at least one third of my clients, are early stage and smaller companies, so I get to talk to CEOs on a weekly basis, probably 5 to 10 a week. And so I certainly understand the perspective of CEOs. And when they're talking to us, they're usually talking about, you know, what should they should do with their intellectual property strategies, and provisionals always come up. One of the things that CEOs find very quickly is that by focusing on getting provisionals during the course of their tenure at the company, they're really fostering a culture of innovation. See, because getting provisionals from employees is one way of saying, let me spend some time, money, and effort to make sure we cover your inventions. One of the great things about filing provisionals is you get to work with all sorts of experts, consultants and patent attorneys, et cetera. And the very nature of filing provisionals means that you're spending time developing a patent strategy while you're developing these provisionals. So that's always a good thing. A third thing is that CEOs recognize very quickly that provisionals support product development. By that, I mean, as the product's being developed, you can actually determine at what points you want to file provisionals, which are really the points as to when you know you have novelty and something to protect. So you're really adding in your product development mindset places where you know you've really got something. And that's very, very key. Another thing we can do as CEOs is to make sure we get a competitive advantage. Intellectual property is one of those very rare assets in a business that can do that. Now, whether you have to sue somebody or not, the idea behind intellectual property as a sort of a negative right is to stop people from making, using, or selling your inventions. So by filing provisionals, later on having the opportunity of filing patents, you begin the ability to have this sort of exclusive right in your business. And that's a great competitive advantage. One of the things that we find is you can facilitate all sorts of supply chain relationships. Let's just say that you're a CEO of a food packaging company and you develop some new packaging technology that keeps things fresh. Well, if you've done that, now look, you can go into suppliers that have fresh products that maybe don't know about this technology. And so by developing the technology and filing provisionals, you can literally go talk to those companies without the worry that they'd be copying you. So you can start developing the market, even at the provisional level, and be sure that someone's not going to steal your ideas. One of the key things of any CEO is to protect the company's intellectual property. If you take a look at most companies in terms of their value, you can take a look at their revenue streams, maybe multiply that by 2x, 1.5, 2x, and that will give you kind of the value of the company. If you're more strategic to an acquisition, it's 5x, sometimes even 10x. But intellectual property is one of those very few things that can add to that multiplier. So one of the things is to protect the intellectual property of the company, you're actually protecting the valuation of the company. So the use of provisionals is all about that. So you can even see there's very specific uses of provisionals. And one is, as we can describe in episode 27, how you can stop copycats by using your IP. So there's a lot of things CEOs can do using provisionals. One of the things about provisionals is that you can actually test the market, as I was just saying. Let's just say you have a startup that develops some new technology and you develop your provisionals around this. Well, you have a 12-month period to file patents. So you can go out with 4 or 5 different product ideas and test it in the market and pitch it and see what you think. And maybe one of those ideas really, are grabbed onto, the other 3 or 4 are not. So you can take the provisionals around the ones that the market really grabs onto and develop products around that and file patents around that. And maybe the other provisionals you even let lapse. So you see how you can use provisionals because they're so inexpensive to sort of do market testing. Customer satisfaction is always a big thing. And us CEOs always think about how can we delight our customers, our clients. And one way is that you can develop new products and technologies that always do something. So let's just say you're a furniture company, you've come up with a new way to make an improved furniture that costs less, looks better, et cetera. But you also find maybe it's more ergonomic. But you might not know, but you can file provisionals, functional inventions if you want, on the customer experience with your invention. So maybe you can sit for X hours more without back pains or having to get up. And that could be the subject of an invention. So you can actually use provisional applications as a CEO to improve customer satisfaction and to capture that. Well, one other thing a CEO does a lot is they try to raise money. There's nothing better to do in fundraising by having provisional applications. A big part of our business is to literally help a company get numerous provisionals right before a raise. Because by doing this, you're upping the value of the potential of getting patents down the road and upping the valuation of the company. So using provisional applications is a great way of helping the financing. And finally, another thing is, we've seen CEOs do this countless times. They have a product direction, but during that product direction, they find other areas that the product could go, and they don't have the time, the resources, or the manpower to staff it. So what they do is they create provisional applications, package it up, and create some spinoffs where they can get some money for the spinoffs generally, and some equity in those spinoffs. So there's certainly a lot of things that CEOs can do. Let's move on to topic number four, CTOs. Very different perspective, right, than a board member or an investor or a CEO. CTOs are thinking about technology. They're trying to make things work. I'm not saying the others don't, but their job specifically is to make things work. So to make things work is really about also encouraging people. So like before, CTOs might use the provisional patent application process in a company to encourage innovation, to help build morale. One of the things that they do is when they're supporting research and development, there's a timeline through everything from idea to prototyping all the way through getting out the door. Having provisional applications as a process is a way to kind of look into that R&D process and help really understand what's novel and new to file provisionals during various places. One of the unknown things about provisionals is it's really a trade secret process in disguise. What I mean by this is when you file provisionals, that's basically something with the patent office that you own, but it's not laid open. It's not laid open until a patent is issued and the patent, the provisional that's tied to the patent will get laid open. But the other thing is because you filed that document, also the employee knows you filed that document. So the ownership is known. So for this 18-month window, it's a great trade secret process. One of the things that provisionals help do is help drive technology innovation. You see, by getting provisionals filed over time continuously, you're building an inventive muscle in the company. And by doing that, of course, you're now relying on the staff to always look at problems they have in innovative ways. I mentioned before that CEOs can use this to improve their IP strategy. Well, so can CTOs. CTOs basically take it to another level, though, because they're the ones that are going into the teams. They're with the teams. They're with the employees and the patent attorneys and the consultants or whoever you hire. And so they get deeply involved in why file this provisional versus some other provisional, and it all has to do with strategy. So provisional applications as a process is a great tool for inculcating IP strategy into the company. One of the things that provisional applications do, if you do it the way we would suggest, is to do prior art searches before you file a provisional. It's not required, but we do it. And the reason why we do it is we don't want to waste the client's time or money, because doing a prior art search is even cheaper than the provisional. And sometimes we don't file the provisional if we find a lot of prior art. But you see, the practice of provisionals means that you have the practice of prior art, the way we look at it. And so the CTO would love to know the prior art of what's going on. Supposing he's building a product direction, and in the prior art of the provisional process, he finds some patents he's worried about. So you see, having a provisional application process in the company is a very strong way to reduce risk for the CTO. Why would he produce a product in R&D and then find out later that he has to pay royalties to somebody else about? One of the things about provisionals is they can help the CTO prioritize research. What I mean by that is when you're doing research, right, you're trying to figure out what to develop and you have many different options. Let's just say you have three options. And let's just say that two of the options you would consider filing provisionals because they appear to be novel. And one provisional, one application area is not considered that novel because you wouldn't file provisionals. So just the very thinking process of knowing in two areas you'd file provisionals and one you wouldn't might be the very reason why you choose those two other areas, because now you know it's more novel. You see, by focusing on a provisional process as a CTO, you're kind of asking yourself the question all the time, what are we really doing here that's really differentiating? What's new? One of the things that comes up, and this is a negative thing with the employees, but every CTO has to deal with this, and it happens, where all of a sudden an employee leaves because they're upset, they didn't get the raise, something happens, and all of a sudden they're claiming that they invented something. They walked out the door, and now you're thinking, oh my goodness, this employee now thinks he owns this thing. He doesn't. We know it. He doesn't know it. The employee doesn't know it. So provisional application as a process basically continually shows the employees that you know who the ownership is with. If you ever find an employee that's not willing to, you know, write up and work with you to get a provisional filed, you already know you have a morale problem for personal gain. So it's a great process to ensure that you don't have problems with employees having personal gain. One of the things about provisional applications is it forces the CTO to understand the business strategy and to connect it to the IP. You see, when we look at how intellectual property supports a business, once you understand the business direction, that should be supported by the market direction. Once you have the market direction, that should be supported by the product direction. Once you have the product direction, that should be supported by the technology direction. Once you have the technology direction, that should be supported by the R&D and inventions you have. But once you have the R&D and inventions direction, that would support the IP you have, like provisionals. So by understanding provisionals, You're forcing yourself to connect the dots through that chain to the business. So it's a great way for CTOs to stay on task. One of the things is that you should think about using provisionals before publishing. A lot of companies make this mistake. They'll publish a paper, put it on their website, et cetera, when it's so easy to turn around and file a provisional first and then publish. You know, a lot of companies come to us because we had a client that came to us the day of in a publication. They put out a massive 40, 50 page document that published a lot of things they were doing. They had an old man, you know, experience. They said, well, we haven't filed any inventions on this, and we have one day before this gets in the public domain. It was already in the public domain, so they lost the rights up in the rest of the world. But in the U.S., you have up to a year to file patents. So literally, the day before the year ended up, they brought us in to quickly file provisionals over a 24-hour period on what was in the paper. So you see, by filing provisionals before you publish, you wouldn't get in that problem. But also by filing provisionals as a practice, you could really beat the problem with double location of letting things out and not owning them. Well, coming up in our podcast, we're going to explore how CFOs and inventors think about provisional applications. You know, CFOs can leverage provisionals in many ways, for negotiation, for increased tax benefits, for all sorts of reasons. Inventors, on the other hand, like myself, I'm a practicing inventor. I have about 1,500 patent applications and patents. So as an inventor, I can talk about that and the way I feel about it. But of course, I've worked with lots of inventors. And so one of the things is, one thing we can use it for is inventors can enjoy the flexibility of the patent process, you know, and patent searches and test markets and getting credibility and media attention and all the rest. So stay tuned when we learn about how provisional applications can help our CFO friends and also inventors.
You're listening to Invent Anything with John Cronin. Be sure to visit us at inventanything.net. There's information, articles, and more. And you can leave your thoughts and comments there as well. That's inventanything.net. And now back to John and this episode.
Let's move to topic number 5, the CFO perspective. Now, I wouldn't imagine that a CFO would really be listening to this podcast, but I think that maybe who's ever listened to this podcast, if they really get excited about this concept of filing provisionals, one of the barriers that they might see to doing that is their CFO, because they have to spend money. So this podcast might be great to send it to them so they could listen to this section. Being a CEO of a number of companies myself, I've always had CFOs. And so I kind of know how they think. But a lot of times when I'm trying to do services for the many, many clients we serve, at some point, the gatekeeper is the CFO, and I have to talk to the CFO in order to talk about the value of our services. So this is for CFOs, but there are many different reasons why CFOs might consider letting the company file provisionals. And in some cases, we've got CFOs that not only embrace it, they come out of the closet and basically say, we have to hit this a lot harder than we might have thought. So let's talk about CFO and their perspective here. So one of the things is that by having provisional applications, it allows CFOs to now recognize they have something else to value, the intellectual property portfolio value. And this is really great because CFOs now have an asset that has many different ways it can be used to generate money. And so CFOs love to be able to have something else as an asset to talk about, to value, to put it on the income statements and the balance sheets, and not the income statements, but the balance sheets, and to be able to sort of talk about it. It'll go on the income statement if there's some licensing revenue. Another thing is that CFOs are always risk reducing. They're always trying to find ways to get rid of risk. And so one of the ways to reduce risk is to make sure you don't get sued. Having a provisional application process in the company certainly gets you focused on getting your inventions to the patent office first and hopefully reducing someone else getting there before you, but even later on after you, filing patents and you're not covered. Certainly, there are a lot of different ways to make money from patents, and we have a lot of different episodes on different ways to generate money or value in monetization of IP. So CFOs love to have a lot of flexibility in having different ways to generate revenue. One of the things is that a lot of times CFOs will get in the middle of any kind of acquisition, any kind of raise, anything material where they have to size things. And one of the things that happens with CFOs is they get involved in the due diligence process. But they have a good group of provisionals in the company. They can kind of have a sigh of relief because when they get to this point about intellectual property, they can point to the patent and provisional portfolio. And when they do that, at least they know that through the years that they've been the CFO of the company, they've done a great job in making sure that the assets have been filed as patents and provisionals. Of course, also, there's going to be investment times in companies, and CFOs support those investment negotiations. With provisionals, it would be a clear indication of real value with these assets called patents. Now, some CFOs recognize that they have a very limited picture in their company of intellectual property. The nice thing about provisionals, particularly if you get to know companies like ours, is you can almost instantly go in and extract the invention and produce a numerous provisionals, 10 or 20, whatever, and file them so that you have that on record. So if you're in the middle of the negotiation, you might be able to turn the page on that and give you more power by developing provisionals. And certainly CFOs will look to anything they can do to improve the negotiation position of the company. One thing that I'm sure all CFOs know is taxes. And so one of the things you can do here is in different countries, they have all sorts of tax benefits related to intellectual property expenses. So thinking about this just as a cost may not be correct, because if you take costs and subtract the tax benefits, the people's time they spend on developing the provisionals, we can subtract the costs and so on. All of a sudden, a provisional, which doesn't cost much, might almost be net neutral in terms of costs overall when you consider taxes. It's very likely there would be some costs, but generally, there's a great tax benefit to take advantage of. One of the things that CFOs see is it enables cross-functional collaboration, meaning that it allows, when you have provisionals, that the technical and business teams together around the innovative ideas, and sometimes provisional applications becomes sort of like the key assets that you're talking about, because all these people working together on innovation and products and provisionals are really identifying it. And so when the CFO gets in the middle of these discussions, they can very quickly see where there's value if provisionals are filed. And so we see a lot sometimes CFOs become the ombudsman of the patent strategy. If they don't have a patent strategy, so they're not big enough, the CFO many times are driving the provisional application process. One of the nice things that provisionals do that CFOs love is you can get to market more quickly. There's nothing better than starting that income stream in March versus October, so you can generate revenue, right? So you want to accelerate time to market. So by having provisionals, like I mentioned before, about what the CTO and CEO can do, they can really test the market. And by doing this, now it can get to market faster. And by getting to market faster, we'll get the revenues in faster. So CFOs love accelerating time to market, and provisionals allow us to do that. One of the things that provisionals allow us to do is supporting any kind of venture opportunity. So let's just say there's a joint venture about to happen. How many times is the outside counsel and the CFO or the CFO and the inside counsel talking about what the NDA should look like? What should the LOI look like and the MOUs and all that stuff? You know, if you have a good provisional background in your technology, it makes those negotiations much easier, because your joint venture, now at least you know what you have before you talk about what you're going to do together. If you just talk about what you're going to do together, it can be all sorts of problems where folks are saying, well, we had this idea before you, and we're bringing to the table this kind of stuff, but in essence, you've invented it. If you have the provisionals documented, you can really kind of make that a showing. It's easy to lay them open and show them to the JV to get value for it. And one of the things is that provisional applications are just one of the best ways to manage legal expenses when it comes to patents. We've had a lot of companies that don't even understand provisional applications, so go right to the patent. And there are certainly reasons to go right to a patent versus a provisional. Provisionals are one-fifth the cost, generally. And so one of the things you want to think about is managing legal costs. You can really file a bunch of provisionals today and let the next raise or the JV pay for the patents. So it's a great way of managing legal costs. Well, I promised we'd talk about inventors' perspective, and since I'm one, this is a great perspective for me. So what does it do for us inventors? One thing provisional applications certainly do is provide flexibility. What we mean by that is by filing a non-provisional, we can continue to work on our prototypes and continue to work on things and not have to worry that someone's going to beat us to the patent office, because provisionals are low cost and easier to write, and getting them into the office secures that date. Another thing we mentioned about prior art, that when you're doing a provisional process and you're searching prior art, it simplifies later on down the road with the patent process. If you're interested in this, episode 25, we cover how to write a provisional application. You might take a look at that, because it gets more into how the provisional process simplifies the rest of the patent process. And inventors love that, because Inventors, at the end of the day, are people that are involved deeply in the patent process, and they would like to do it efficiently as much as they can. If you're an inventor, chances are you're running around having meetings with all sorts of suppliers and customers and all sorts of people that might be working on the prototype for you. You have a world around you, which is to get those inventions, you know, done, made, prototypes into business. And by having provisional applications, it's a great tool to use when you want to talk to somebody in the value chain. Well, you don't want to divulge your invention. So if you have your invention filed as provisionals, you'd feel more free about that. As a matter of fact, I meet some inventors that are so smart about this, but they'll literally look at a meeting they're going to have. You know, one of the ways that inventors can leverage provisionals is to test the market demand. And it's great because you can talk to people about what you're working on and not worry that they're going to steal what you're working on. You can discuss it very freely. You know, a lot of times inventors are, they're lower in the organization, so they don't have the authority to basically talk to people outside the company as much. And so if there's a provisional, now they have that authority. So it's great for inventors to be able to be more open and transparent because they own it. One of the things, of course, is when you file provisional applications, that's confidential with the patent office until it lays open, as we mentioned. So it establishes a formal record of creation. And therefore, it's a way that an inventor is following the guidelines of confidentiality for the company. And so by developing provisionals as an inventor, you're actually protecting the confidentiality of the company. One of the things that happens to all inventors, and I watch this happen to myself personally, you know, when I was at IBM, I had over 100 patents to my name. And at one point, maybe after the third or fourth patent, I kind of figured out that I was an inventor. Now, of course, I think I'm an inventor, but, and that was not only an emotional thing, which is kind of interesting, but it led to a lot of credibility. As I was an engineer with lots of engineers at IBM, as I started having more patents, all of a sudden, you know, I had more credibility because the technology that I was working on personally was becoming inventions. And so I think this is just such a great thing for an inventor to use the provisional application process as the beginning of developing the inventor credibility. And, you know, for all you inventors out there to listen to this, the bar between getting a patent and not getting a patent is this provisional. And there is no bar for getting a provisional. You just file it. So it's the great first step in order to develop your own credibility. Of course, one of the things that happens with a lot of inventors is they have a fire drill right before they're about to announce something. The management says, well, have you filed an invention on this? If you don't have a good provisional application process in the company, then there's this mad dash of the patent office. And so inventors can minimize mad dashes if they basically recognize when they got to the point of novelty, it's about the provisional right there. It really doesn't take that much time. It probably takes a couple hours for the inventor to do what he needs to do to find experts like myself or my company or patent attorneys, whatever, to get the provisional filed. One of the things is that not only does it enhance your credibility, but it enhances the reputation of yourself in the company. You see, I've met some companies whereby the first introduction I made is by their, you know, inventor, who could be a CTO or whatever, their inventor that has 15, 20, 30 patents and applications and provisionals filed. Automatically, we know that we're talking to somebody that actually understands invention, creativity, business, and all the rest. So to the outside world, your reputation also goes way up, which should help the company to have practicing inventors that have 5, 10, 15 patents or provisionals. One of the great things about provisional applications is not only have we talked about, you know, publishing and losing information, but when you have a provisional application process in the company, it really protects against inadvertent public disclosure. And what I mean by that is that a lot of inventors that are not filing provisionals or patents, but they're still inventors. They just don't have patents or provisionals, but they're certainly all inventors. They don't understand public disclosure. So they'll be talking about something of what they're doing, maybe in a blog or maybe in communication with a vendor. And by having a good provisional application process, they get very good at understanding what is and what isn't intellectual property. And therefore, they are less likely to have inadvertent public disclosure. And then finally, a number of provisionals is always great, but you know, you could turn any provisional into a press release and start to get some media buzz around your inventions. And that has the benefit of maybe drawing customers in or partners in, or even investors. So you see, there's lots of different ways that investors can leverage provisionals. So let's wrap up. We talked about the board, the board's perspective in provisionals. We talked about things like brand recognition, protected against lawsuits, building value, helping the company's reputation, helping the company retain top talent, or building more talent, helping shareholder value, or assuring a succession plan, or even adding all this to the balance sheet. So certainly as a board member, there's a lot that a board member would want to have a provisional application process in the company. What about an investor? Well, we talked about investor. I mean, what do they want to do? They want to make money. So they would like to see the company sold or acquired or some other exit. So provisional applications we talked about certainly facilitate mergers and acquisitions. They can establish market dominance. They can prevent competitors from coming in quickly. They also can help attract new investors. One thing investors love is to put their money in and to find money coming behind their money to guarantee that their initial investment is going to be more valuable. It helps showcase the potential of the company with inventions. It can generate interest from all sorts of partners, and certainly can protect against infringers and support investment performances. We talked about getting new revenue streams. We talked about downturns and economic conditions, how it can bolster against that. We also talked about how to take an interest and advantage of regulatory, or even demonstrating the company's management team's strength. So all these are great ways for investors, the provisional application process in the company, to really stay ahead of the industry. No one, more than anyone that's listening to this podcast, should really be thinking about provisional applications other than the CEO. You see, the CEO is the one that makes this happen. A board and investors could tell the CEO that they want a good provisional application process, but generally, they probably haven't thought about all the reasons they should. So the CEO is really the first guard on all this, because the CEO can convince the board, the CEO can convince the investors, the CEO can convince the CTO. So it's very important that the CEO's perspective of provisional applications be thought about. They can foster a culture of innovation using it. They can create a competitive advantage. They can attract new interest from partners. They can secure funding from other companies. They can create spin-offs. They can create separate entities. See, the CEO can do all sorts of things with a provisional application process. CTO, as we get to this level now, they have a very different perspective. They have to make things work. They have to make things happen. So they're involved in research and development. A good provisional application process, as we talked about, would help them through that entire process. It would help the technical teams to work better with legal teams to get patent strategies right out of it. It would help protect the discoveries along the R&D continuum line. It would give the CTO the ability to make sure that inadvertent publication is not done. It would help the CTO build the inventive muscles of the company. It would help the CTO drive all sorts of innovation and growth. It can do all these things and more. We even talked about how provisional applications can help the CTO, because it's really a rudimentary trade secret process for the first 18 months, but one is held confidential in the patent office. We talked about the CFO, and this is a really interesting perspective that generally people don't really understand. The CFOs might be the ones who would argue against spending money on provisionals, but when they recognize it, they do all sorts of things, that it can identify potential infringements so they can lower risk, or it can lower legal actions that may happen. It gives new revenue streams that we never thought about. It gives all sorts of new tools in the toolbox for negotiation for anything material. It gives them, you know, tax benefits. It encourages cross-functional teams that they can be part of, where they have something in the center of that discussion where they really know what we're talking about. It helps them time to market, and it supports all sorts of venture opportunities. And one of the great things is it manages legal costs. So at the end of the day, I would think that CFOs would be, you know, up front and center about wanting to have a provisional application process. Finally, is the inventor perspective, which I sort of always warmed up to, is that it allows enormous flexibility for us inventors. It allows us to have a process that doesn't take much time, that allows us to do all sorts of things. It helps us protect confidentiality. It gives us credibility. It makes sure that we're not worried about inadvertent disclosure. It helps attract media attention. It does all sorts of things for the reputation of the company. It allows us to talk freely with folks. It allows us to do prior art searching at the right times and not have this rush to the patent office. It does so many things. I mean, since inventors are inventors, whether they have provisionals or patents or not, but for those that go over that bar to have provisionals and then patents, provisional applications is the first, you know, step you make as almost a daily effort to think about it. So when I think about all these perspectives, the use of provisionals, there's over 60 different strategies here that we've talked about, and they affect all levels of the business. And these are just some. So if you're thinking about creating more value in the business, and I don't care what level you're at, I think you might carefully consider the provisional applications as a process, and then doing it is a very important thing for your area of the business. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe, join our blog, Invent Anything, and then maybe listen to our podcast on Inventors at Work. This is Invent Anything, and I'm John Cronin.